Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impuga. This evening we'll talk about the South Sudan peace deal to end the over 2 years of war. And with us tonight is Mariano Mawen. He's SPLM IO U.S. representative. He joins us by phone from Portland in Maine. Good afternoon, Mariano.
Good afternoon, Jackson. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And joining us also is Professor Eric Reeves. Dr. Eric Reeves is a professor of English language and literature at Smith College in Northampton, Massachusetts. And he has spent many years working as a Sudan researcher and analyst and has written quite a lot on Sudan and South Sudan. Good afternoon, Dr. Reeves.
Good afternoon to you.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we also have Augustine Tingmai, who is the director of research at the SAD Institute and a professor at the University of Juba. He joins us from Rochester in Minnesota. Good afternoon, Augustino.
Good afternoon,
Justin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. As I said, gentlemen, we're going to talk about the South Sudan deal. And as most of our listeners know, since December 2013, South Sudan has been crippled by a bloody civil war that has killed thousands and displaced more than 2 million people. Machar was expected to return to South Sudan's capital on Monday to form a unity government led by President Salva Kiir. But his return has been continuously delayed because of logistical issues, in addition to disagreements with the government of a number of forces in his delegation and the type of weapons they are carrying. Now, let's take it from there. Let me begin with Mariano. Is that your understanding that that's the cause of the delay of Mr. Machar?
Well, thank you, Jackson. The delay, actually, of Machar going back to Juba is on government side. From day one, we signed a peace agreement in August 16 in Addis Ababa last year. Since then, we are committed to follow the peace that actually was signed by our chairman, Dr. Riek Machar. So Dr. Riek actually committed from day one to go to Juba. But unfortunately, the obstacles, the violation after violation, as you see specifically from Juba, did not even encourage anybody. It's not even us, even the South Sudanese, they're not even in Esquilamayo, they're not even moving in Juba. So that's the reason that we're not saying that we're not going to Juba. We are willing to go to Juba, but we're not allowed by Juba to go to Juba. And that's exactly what happened in the last 3 or 4 days so far.
I see. Augustino, is that your understanding too?
I would have to say first, there is need for peace in South Sudan, and that should not be conditioned on a number of political demands. Secondly, what Mariano just said is not necessarily correct, given what we have seen in the news. It's very clear that Dr. Rep is demanding some of the things that his political group failed to demand in the agreement. And as such, I think this is rather distraction, and I think Dr. Riek should be held to account and to be urged to get to Juba and implement the agreement. My understanding is that there is no good excuse being tabled by the opposition. The government does have its own shortcomings in trying to implement peace, but as of recent, we have seen some level of commitment, and that should be appreciated rather than rebuked, as Mariano has said.
I see. Dr. Reeves, this back and forth between Mr. Machar's camp and the Silver Keys group, is it your opinion that maybe the agreement itself was flawed from the word go?
I think we need to be very careful in our generalizations about agreements. Mm-hmm. There have been several agreements. We can go back to Arusha, we can go forward, we can go back to January 2013 when Riek Machar refused to accept an unconditional offer of a ceasefire. But I think what's important to bear in mind is that every day that Riek Machar does not come to Juba, raises the tensions and raises the chances of an explosion. Vice News is reporting, as of just very shortly, a short while ago, that Riek Machar is in Pagak conducting a briefing among SPLA-IO members, and that his plan is to come to Juba on Saturday. That, it seems to me, is an unreasonable delay. At the same time, the government of South Sudan is making things more difficult than they need to be. For example, Michael Makwey Lueth, who is one of the real hardliners, one of the people who's been least cooperative in the whole process, has objected to the proposal by the Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Committee, proposal put forward by Chairman Festus Mogae. Now, this is, even as Makwey says, this is not, it's not the weaponry he per se, he says, but it's rather that a demand was made by the opposition. Well, that's the kind of attitude that it seems to me is going to make it harder for Riek Machar to return. I think he should have returned, even without an agreement on some of the very small details about weaponry. This is not what's going to determine the future of South Sudan. What's going to determine it is a willingness, once Riek Machar has returned to Juba, a willingness by all parties to put peace in South Sudan above all other considerations, including considerations of political power and personal interest.
Dr. Reeves, political power and personal interest aside, shouldn't Riek Machar be concerned about his security at least?
It's very difficult to say he should not be concerned about his security. Taman Deng's brother was killed in Juba not so long ago. There are a lot of people with a lot of hostility on both sides, and I think I worry as much about Salva Kiir's being assassinated as I do about a member of the SPLA in opposition, whether Riek Machar or Taban Deng, who has done yeoman's work in recent months. But there are a lot of guns, and there are a lot of very angry people, and that's why I say every day that Riek Machar delays returning simply increases the pressure, the intensity, and the stress level that are going to make it more difficult to get down to the business of putting South Sudan together again.
I see. Mariano, there are those, some people have said that the, as you just heard from Dr. Reeves there, this continued delay by your leader, Riek Machar, to not go back to Juba may not, are not, is not helping matters. Do you share that view?
Well, the view I'm really sure and I'm really convinced that actually what exact happening in Juba, somebody actually who are part of this community, which is Adenka. First of all, I'm not a Nuer, I'm Adenka.
Mm-hmm.
Adenka from the same state from Salva Kiir, from Warab. So from Agustino and Reed, I'm the only one who knows Salva Kiir better than them because it's part of my community. And in fact, it's part of family member.
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly happening, what is missing, is that we have three governments inside Juba. The government of Salva Kiir, the sitting president, and the government of General Chief of Staff, which is General Paul Malong Awan. And you have the Jing, Carlson of Eldest. Those are three institutions in Juba, actually, they are making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in our side, in SPLMI, we have only one institution, within SPLMI only. And that's why we send our advanced team in Juba to connect and cooperate with all these institutions in Juba. Unfortunately, as Reed just mentioned, we have somebody saying something different. Those of Minister of Information, Makwey Lueth, we know what he's been saying. So the bottom line is not us. The first people actually signed peace was us. It was not a government.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that Dr. Riek actually refused to go to Juba, it does not even make any sense.
I see.
We have Taban Deng, we have the deputy chairperson of SPLMI, Ladagori in Juba. we have the entire leadership in Juba. And now the notion that Dr. Yag refusing to go to Juba, do the math. Only thing I just want to add to all South Sudanese and diaspora, in specifically South Sudanese and Juba, the life of Dr. Yag as individual is very important to him. The life of Dr. Yag is very important to his family as well as his tribe. And his life actually is very important to South Sudanese also. If the United States, the UK, all European countries, they are warning their citizens not to go to Juba the day that Dr. Yag would arrive, what exactly would tell you? It tell you that Dr. Yag, his life would be in jeopardy. It would be in danger in Juba. So if Reed actually is not willing to go to Juba, it has been told by United States, as Americans said, not to go to Juba. So why you want Dr. Yag to go to Juba then?
I see.
You know, there's a concern of security in Juba. Mm. There's so many plan A and B by the government. We don't know which one actually has a plan. Simply today in Pagak, in Gombela, the entire leadership in SPLM-IO, they were in Gombela for almost the last 3 days. You know, simply we not been allowed. Our forces not been allowed. The forces was actually agreed by the government, and then the IGAD and all this. The 2,110 forces, 2,910 forces, they're not even been complete in Juba. But we're not even saying that they're not been complete, that now we're not going to Juba. We are still going to Juba. We're not even allowed to have a clearance to go to Juba.
This
situation actually is not us. It's a government actually creating tension between itself. Mm-hmm. First of all, doesn't agree with Fulmalungawan.
Yes.
Fulmalungawan doesn't agree with Mokwengwe. And now they want us to go to Juba. In which government? Show me what exact government we are going to deal with them.
I see. Okay, let me go to Augustino. Augustino. Yes.
Let's put it that way. Two things are exaggerated. I just came from Juba. I live in Juba, mm-hmm. and Mariano, I'm also a Dinka, so I understand the context.
So I have two brothers. Yes.
you're coming from. But let's put it this way. The opposition exaggerates two things. One is the insecurity in Juba. And they are saying they need more forces to support their security. Well, they're asking for 200 more. What can the 200 more do in the face of elevated insecurity in Juba? It just doesn't make any sense to me. That's one. The second aspect is that Dr. Yag, I think, tends to exaggerate his importance. Taban Denga is there. All these other opposition leaders are there. They are not threatened. I have interacted with a number of them in public arenas. This insecurity situation, to me, is not the basis that we should be getting as far as the delay of Dr. Yag coming back to Juba.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get to the records. Less than a day ago, the government actually backtracked on its initial demand not to accept more forces. And decided that more forces can come to Juba with Dr. Yag. Well, the question is, Mariana, where is Dr. Yag? Why is he not in Juba now?
I see. Well,
the real issue here lies with the commitment on the opposition side. Whatever the problem is, they are not telling us. And that's what needs to be dug out, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Reeves, we're talking about insecurity in Juba, and that's what has been cited by the Riek Machar people. But the fact that there will be forces for Dr. Riek Machar, the other forces, that these several forces in one city, is that a recipe for more insecurity?
There is a great danger if just a few individuals act irresponsibly. But I agree with Agustin that a few hundred more troops or a few more weapons of a different sort cannot possibly change the security dynamic in Juba. Tabandeng is there. Salva Kiir is there. Riek Machar needs to be there. If security is not ideal, it's not going to get any better with any negotiations that take place going forward. It is time for Riek Machar to do what he can to bring about the process that is going to bring peace, true peace, to Sudan and end the kinds of animosities, ethnic and political, that are tearing South Sudan apart, not as violently as in 2014, 2015, but the potential, the ongoing potential for enormous destruction of the sort we did see previously remains. And those tensions need to be diffused, and they can only be diffused when all the parties are in Juba. It can't be done while Riek Machar remains in Bagak.
I see. Well, for those just tuning in, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Our topic tonight is the South Sudan peace arrangement. And our panelists are Mariano Mawen, SPLMIO rep in USA, Dr. Eric Reeves of Smith College, and Augustine T. Meyer of the SAD Institute. And I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, here in Washington. Before I let Reeves go, let's talk about this arrangement, the arrangement of the transitional government of national unity that we want us, people want to go ahead. With this kind of distrust and back and forth between the two principles, how humanly possible is that kind of arrangement?
Well, it will be very, very difficult. There is a lot of animosity. There is a lot of tension. There are a lot of ways in which things can go wrong. But I would point to Thabang Deng as somebody who has led the way for the SPLA MA in opposition. He is, as I said earlier, he's done very considerable work. And it seems to me that's the kind of work in which he needs the full support of the SPLA in opposition. And that's not going to happen until Riek Machar comes back. That's no guarantee in itself that a viable, unified, coherent, stable government of South Sudan can be created, but it's certainly the thing we absolutely must have. We cannot go forward without bringing Riek Machar into the fold, into the government, on the terms that have been negotiated. It seems to me the idea that number of soldiers and weapons and all of this is essentially beside the point. It doesn't change the security situation, which, if not ideal, is not going to get better anytime soon. The only way to improve the security situation in Juba and in much of Sudan, where there's continuing violence, is by having a unified South. And that South can be unified only through negotiations that take place in Juba with the leaders of the SPLA, GOSS, and the SPLA in opposition.
I see. Mariano, some analysts have said they have been wondering whether your group, Riek Machar's, is willing to join the transitional government of national unity out of conviction, or is it trying to join because of the international pressure? What do you think?
Well, thank you. We are following the. We are actually committed. Since we signed peace at the first group, we are actually very proud of the signature that we signed that peace last year. The only person actually is humbling the peace is Dr. Riek Machar. That's actually a specific description I can give you right now. The peace was signed in a headquarters in Addis Ababa. The only person who signed peace in Juba was Al-Fakir Mayadid. I mean, go back a little bit and try to research where actually somebody signed peace in his own city, which is the president of South Sudan, Al-Fakir Mayadid. Himself actually willing actually to be a man of peace. He should have signed that peace in Addis Ababa. The reason he did not even sign peace in Addis Ababa because it was a threat. He had been threatened by his own group. The group I just mentioned earlier, the group of General Paul Marong Awan, and then the Jing Carlson of Elders. And let's give you a little bit of description of this group called Jing Carlson of Elders. They are the only one people actually destroying our country in South Sudan. They are representing the entire tribe, which is my tribe, which is, it's not even true. Those are group actually, they're not even willing to protect South Sudan, including their own community. You know, Reed knows very well. So Riek is not, backing words. Riek is moving forward to implement peace. The peace has not been implemented. But let me give you a little bit example what Ruiz was mentioning about Tabandenga. We, the leadership, sent Tabandenga to Juba with a trust. Our trust is still there with him. But what exactly is bad is Taban has been minimized by the government. Taban has not been considered for many, many, many cases. For example, today, we have received reports from the government telling our chief general in Gambela not to departure from Gambela with his weapon. Taban's role was minimized from Juba. So this is a disrespect. Inside Juba, you know, from Taban's side, government did not even consider Tabandenga as actually a representative from SPLM-IO in Juba.
I see.
That's something we need to understand that. To conclude my point to all of you, being a Denka, I know what exactly taking place in Juba, more than Reeds, more than my brother Augustine, even though he's from Denka.
Why?
Because
why do you think so?
I'm from Waraf, and I know what exactly taking place. Yes, it has been set up.
Yes.
There to get killed by these groups, but Riyad is not even listened to that. Riyad is still willing to go to Juba, even though his life is in risk.
Okay,
give us assurance, give us clearance. Let's allow our forces go to Juba. The forces that include the peace that we signed, the 2,910, let them go to Juba for their own weapon. Riyad is now refusing. You know, let's do that. If you want to help Riyad, please contact the government. Augustine also encouraged the government. We will appreciate that. Riyad is not refusing.
So, Augustino, I'm still. Most people are still puzzled by with this kind of animosity. How possible is it going to be to form this national government of national unity?
I think Dr. Reeves was right in that there's a great deal of animosity and there's potential for hostility between the two. The trust is very limited, and as such, people that are concerned about peace in South Sudan should think of ways to avoid future return to violence. And I think investing in the current JMAC institutions would be a way to go. I would like to address some of the things raised by Mariano, and that's to say we'll continue to have a bleak picture and future if we don't come to our senses that this is about peace for the people. It's not about the leaders. It's not about Dr. Riak. It's not about Taban. It's not about Salva Kiir. It's about the livelihood and the general well-being of the population, and that's South Sudanese. Dr. Riak is concerned about his insecurity and his security, and that we have already talked about, that 200 more forces would not do much. They would not change the power dynamic on the ground. What needs to be done is that Dr. Riak needs to return and that there is need for investment in the international institutions that are supporting peace to make sure that there's no return to war again.
Augustino, is there, briefly, we're running out of time, briefly, is there anything that the neighboring countries can do to expedite this process?
In South Sudan or
in South Sudan?
Western countries?
No, South Sudan. I'm talking about the region. I'm talking about Kenya, Ethiopia, Uganda, around those countries around the region.
Well, I mean, the Eastern African countries are a stakeholder in this. IGAD is a party to the implementation of the agreement. I have seen some presses showing that they are in support of JMAC and a few other international institutions in making sure Dr. Riak comes to Juba and that the government of national unity is formed and that peace is brought back to South Sudan. So I see some effort there in terms of regional support to the peace.
Dr. Reeves, is there anything that the international community can do to press these guys to understand the gravity of the situation?
I think considerable effort has been made by the international community. The Troika has made it very clear they want Dr. We have to return to Juba. Uganda has made it clear. Kenya has made it clear. IGAD has made it clear that this is a step that simply must be taken. And in the absence of any imaginable and significant change in the security dynamic in Juba, there's no reason for delay. And I think that's that's the view that the international community has expressed, and I would hope they would continue to express it with growing impatience. There is a great deal at risk here, and if delay should exacerbate tensions or increase the likelihood of a frustrated individual or two to do something rash, then that also needs to be considered when we think about the urgency of Riek Machar's returning to Juba.
Mm-hmm. Mariano, do you see Dr. Riek Machar in Juba in the next few days, or you think it's not going to be possible?
Dr. Riek Machar would be in Juba any time if the government are committed to implement peace.
Yeah, but what do you mean by that, by government committed to implement peace?
Yes. He will be in Juba. He's available. He was in Gambela for the last 3 days in airport, going to Juba. That's indication that Riek is committed. Pagag is not too far away from Gambela. And he's standby to go to Juba. The issue is not he's going to Juba. How he's going to arrive in Juba. But let's go back a little to the international community that you just talk about. It. The international community have to do more. There's two things they need to identify. Number one, they need to identify who actually in charge in Juba. That's very important. The UN, the AU, the IGAD, the neighbor countries, they need to know who actually in charge in Juba. Is it Salva Kiir in charge? Is it Malong Awan in charge? Or the Jin Council of the Elders? That's, if they don't identify who actually in charge, our country is going to be in a chaos.
I see.
That's number one. Uh-huh. Number two, they need to condemn, they need to remove this called Jin Council of Elders. They're not part of the government. They should not be there. They should not be given authority to make decisions.
I see.
The death of Nuer as one community, as a tribe, has to stop. Whether by my own tribe, representing by the government, by other tribes. As you see last week, 200 and something killed. In Nuer area, innocent children was being killed. The prime target was not even Nuer community, was the Toriak, because it was like 1 hour away to the headquarters where Riek was staying. So it was a plan by the government. This militia was actually equipped by the government. Now international community, if actually the government actually armed militia to kill innocent children, so the same international community need to condemn this government. Mm-hmm. You know, by doing that, by put all this pressure to the government, identify who actually in charge, things would be okay. But if international community warning Dr. Reeves not to go to Juba today, or me, or Agostino in Minnesota, then why actually we not allow our citizens to go to Juba and Dr. Riek allowed to go to Juba? You know.
All right.
So that's the issue.
Okay, I'll give the last word to Mariano. No, sorry, to Agostino. In the last ten seconds, how do you think getting resolved?
Well, first of all, the opposition needs to lay off their excuses. All these excuses, including the JCE, to me, are not necessarily fundamentally important. The JCE has no relevance in the context of political institutions in South Sudan. They're just like any other group that is demanding or looking for their own interests. They mm-hmm. do not influence the government.
I see.
What needs to happen is that Dr. Riek needs to return to Juba.
Mm-hmm.
Both parties need to form the government of national unity, implement all the frameworks that are in there,
okay,
and make sure there's sustainable peace in the country. And that's what needs to happen. All these excuses are not necessarily in place.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, gentlemen. I'd like to thank our panel, Mariano Mawen, SPLM-IO U.S. representative, Professor Eric Reeves of Smith College in Northampton, Massachusetts, and Agostino Tingwamai, Director of Research at the SAD Institute and a professor at the University of Juba. Gentlemen, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Jackson.
You're welcome. Our producer was Jackson Mufunganyi. Our engineer tonight was Justin Twites. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. And in case you missed any part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@vuenews.com. Thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, in Washington.